It's good to be back as this year's group stage kicked off in style on Tuesday night, with it finishing honours even in Paris after this late Arsenal strike.
Alexis Sanchez equalises for Arsenal, drove it home right-footed from the edge of the area. The Chile international has got the Gunners on terms here.
And at the Camp Nou, Barcelona put a sensational 7 past Celtic, with this man once again taking centre stage.
Here goes Messi, no offside. This is Suarez looking to make it 5. Oh, Messi has! Messi has a hat-trick!
Elsewhere, there were wins for Bayern, Atletico and Napoli, but Manchester City and Borussia Mönchengladbach will have to go again after their match was postponed due to torrential rain. We'll bring you all the analysis and key reaction to the night's matches. Plus, we're going to preview Wednesday's games, including Juventus versus Sevilla and the start of Real Madrid's defence of their title against Sporting. So stay with us right here on UEFA Champions League Match Day Live. Welcome to the show. I'm Rob Daly. What a start to the UEFA Champions League group stages. Let's run through all of the results anyway from match day one Tuesday. Group A, Paris Saint-Germain 1, Arsenal 1, Basel Ludogorets, same scoreline there at Yacoub Park. Group B, Benfica 1, Besiktas 1, Dynamo Kiev 1, Napoli 2. Group C, Barcelona 7, Celtic 0. Manchester City against Borussia Mönchengladbach postponed. Group D, PSV Eindhoven 0, Atletico 1, Bayern 5, Rostov 0. Well, let's start our review of Tuesday's action in Group A. Paris Saint-Germain hosted Arsenal. UEFA.com's Adam Summerton describes the action.
Fabulous ball in, and there's the opening goal. Aurier's cross, Cavani's header. Couldn't miss from all of a few metres out. And we have the opening goal inside a minute at the Parc des Princes.
Monreal has got round Aurier. Could be a chance here for Arsenal. Digs it towards Oxlade-Chamberlain with the header. And selfishly, rather than go for goal himself, as he could have done, and it was cleared by Paris, but that's the best chance of the game so far for Arsenal.
Chance to score, and he puts it wide. Ospina was miles away. The goalkeeper had come rushing out, was well off his line. He was nowhere. Well, it's a golden opportunity for Cavani.
Really good run. It might break yet for Cavani. Cavani on the edge of the area, it has, it's a great chance! And it's saved by Ospina, a double save in actual fact. Another golden opportunity for Cavani. Now it's to the left again to Ozil, tries to put it back, he won't be! Saved! And Alexis Sanchez in!
Alexis Sanchez equalises for Arsenal, drove it home right-footed from the edge of the area. The Chile international has got the Gunners on terms here. It's Paris 1, Arsenal 1.
And that's how it would finish. Our commentator for the game, Adam Summerton, is with me now as well. Adam, a very even game in the end, but Paris Saint-Germain will rue their missed chances.
Yeah, I think they will, particularly for Cavani, who saw the best of them. But I guess you could look from an Arsenal perspective and say that there were three very different saves, but all equally important, I thought, from Ospina in the second half to deny Cavani. So you know, you could look at it either way. Good stops, could Cavani have done better? He may well feel in the fullness of time that he could have done. But I was just impressed with the way that, particularly in the second half, that Arsenal went toe-to-toe with Paris and had a real go at them and felt that they could get back into it. They backed themselves to do that. We saw Giroud come on, but good performance from Iwobi, who played an important role in the equalising goal. A good finish from Alexis Sanchez, who persisted despite the fact that things weren't always going his way in the game, but continued to work just as Alexis Sanchez does, really, and got his rewards in the end. So yeah, maybe a little bit of disappointment for Paris, the fact they couldn't capitalise on such an early goal, but Arsenal, I would think, would have been happy with the point.
Late sendings off for Olivier Giroud and Marco Verratti as well, both sides finishing with 10 men. European football expert Andy Brassel is with me as well. Andy, what did you make to the game as a whole?
Well, I think it's interesting in the sense that both teams are still finding their true selves for this season. They're both works in progress. And when you have that sort of situation, normally the two teams shadow box around each other a little. And you might think that from the result, but it was nothing like it. It was incredible tempo. It was so, so entertaining. It was one of the best match day one matches that you'll see.
Did the goal open it up? Do you think inside 41 seconds, 42 seconds?
Certainly. It made a huge difference. Yeah. But Arsenal were so determined to respond, even though when they weren't playing well, they still tried to make the play in the first half. Granted, Paris did have their chances, which they couldn't take. But we mustn't forget as well, Alphonse Areola, who was brought into the team to make his UEFA Champions League debut, made a couple of really good saves. And you know what? He deserved better defending from the four in front of him than the defending that wasn't made after he'd made that great save from Alex Iwobi. There's so much space for Alexis Sanchez to follow up.
I know you like a stat, Rob. Not since September 2014 have Paris gone three games without a win. They have now.
Yeah, I mean, a tough start for Unai Emery.
It is, but I think that we would have been fooling ourselves if we hadn't thought there would be this process. I think it has to happen. You know, you've seen a massive figure in terms of Ibrahimovic go out the door. I personally think that that is having an effect on things.
Well, actually, it's funny. Let's put this to you then. Pankaj just tweeted in to say, guys, do you think Paris Saint-Germain are missing Ibrahimovic listening from India?
Well, it's hard not to when you look at... I mean, even if you just take it as influence that we've constantly been told about over the years in the dressing room, even if you look at it from that point of view, to take that out suddenly and it's no longer there anymore, then that's one side of it. But this guy scored loads of goals, you know, and you can't just forget that. I mean, that is a lot of goals that have just suddenly gone out the side. And, you know, I think in the fullness of time, they will find the ways to get used to this and accommodate and change. And other players will find positions and opportunities on the pitch that maybe weren't there. Pastore, for instance, I think is a player who could ultimately benefit from it. Cavani, if he can find his form, could benefit from it. So I'm not saying it's all a negative, but I think it's a lot of readjustment. I think Euro is playing a part as well, because a lot of the players were laid back. And with a new coach as well, who, let's be honest, is a different mentality, different approach, different style on the touchline completely as well. It's a lot of things to get used to, and I'm not surprised that we're seeing a slightly indifferent start to the season from Paris.
We saw both sides, Andy, rotate goalkeepers. Do you think they're pushing to be first choice after their respective performances tonight?
Well, it's hard to see Petr Cech being usurped, but having said that, Ospina didn't do much wrong. He made a lot of very good saves, and there's an argument without his intervention, Arsenal would have lost the game. We can talk about Cavani missing chances. Ospina made a couple of really, really good saves from him, really brave saves as well. And bravery is, of course, a huge part of being a goalkeeper. For Areola, you just feel it is a matter of time. You know, he's a young man who's already proved he's one of the best young goalkeepers in Europe. And he was excellent in the La Liga with Villarreal last season, which is where Unai Emery knows him so well from. In that sense, it's almost surprising that he hasn't had a chance before. But if they do go with the system that has been mooted in France, which of course Real Madrid have done before, of having a different goalkeeper for the cup competitions, we're going to be seeing a lot more of him in this competition, and you know he's going to continue impressing us.
Absolutely. We'll let Adam get some more reaction to Paris Saint-Germain against Arsenal. 1-1 it finished in the French capital. It finished 1-1 in the other game in the group as well, Basel against Ludogorets. Ludogorets taking the lead through Jonathan Cafu just before halftime, but Renato Stefan, after Stoyanov, the goalkeeper, sort of flapped it across, he was able to turn it in a bit like perhaps the Claudio Bravo incident we saw from the weekend in the Manchester derby. But a good point for Ludogorets back in the UEFA Champions League, Andy.
Yes, it is. And it shows how much they've come on because, of course, they lost 4-0 on their last visit to St. Jakob Park. And I think it's interesting, the idea that maybe they're not prepared to be the fourth place side. They've battled incredibly hard to get to this point in the UEFA Champions League, of course, getting through six matches worth of qualifiers to get into the group stage in the first place. So they're not going to give their place up easily.
So all four teams in Group A on 1 point. Alphabetical order decides Ajax's preferred method of ranking groups. So that's the status of Group A at the moment. Let's move on to Group C now. Our second feature match took place at the Camp Nou, where Scottish champion Celtic came up against the Spanish champions Barcelona. This one was watched by Jonathan Beck.
Messi is onside. Lionel Messi! Top corner and top draw from Messi. Barcelona lead early on. And the home side have the early lead. Sinclair over the halfway line and still going. Sinclair looking to slip it into Dembele. Now to Stegen, has conceded a penalty. It's Dembele with a pause and a save by Ter Stegen. Barcelona still lead. Neymar back to Messi. Messi back to Neymar into the box. He'll square it for Messi, who can walk it into the net. It's far, far too easy. Barcelona lead by 2-0. It's Messi to the left. It's going to be Neymar. It's touched in by the goalkeeper into the top corner. And Neymar has joined the party as well. All the way across. Oh, slammed in like an absolute rocket from Iniesta. That is a wonderful goal in a game full of them. Here goes Messi. No offside. This is Suarez looking to make it five. Oh, Messi has. Messi has a hat-trick. Barcelona, with 2 goals in 2 minutes, are unstoppable. Neymar chips into the box. There's an appeal for offside. It's not going to count. Luis Suarez goal, Will. He gets in on the act finally, and Barcelona have 6. Short corner, Iniesta, Messi, all the way across. Suarez slides in, and that is 7.
Well, Barcelona were absolutely stunning, and we can speak to Jonathan Beck, our commentator, for this match. Now, Jonathan, just Barcelona a class above.
Yeah, nobody, I think, would have been able to live with them on tonight's evidence. Really tough for Celtic, who could have equalised, as you heard there, with that penalty that they had. They missed it. Moussa Dembele said, "I was trying to squeeze it into the side of the netting inside the post." And unfortunately, the goalkeeper got it and guessed right. It was a disappointing night to lose against the best team in the world. But he reckons they let them play too much. Next time, we won't make the same mistakes. Sometimes you score, sometimes you miss. Barcelona have been tweeting. Ivan Rakitic tweeted a picture of himself and Marc-Andre ter Stegen saying, not a bad way to start this season's UEFA Champions League. Something of an understatement. Ter Stegen himself credited the fans for their support and helping him. Big motivation for him to save the penalty. Luis Suarez even said, it's going to be difficult to pass my tally of goals from last year. What I want to do this time is earn collective titles.
OK, let's hear from the Celtic manager, Brendan Rodgers, speaking after the game.
They get high-level top players with big confidence, big belief, and that's why they are what they are. So for our players, this is a competition that's going to be a brilliant learning season for us in the Champions League. Tonight is one of those tough nights that you take at this level, and like as I said, there can be no embarrassment because they do that to teams at much better teams than ourselves.
I mean, Jonathan, we were looking at the quality of these goals. The goals that Barcelona scored tonight were, I'm just seeing an Iniesta replay on my monitor here, were absolutely stunning.
They were outstanding, each one of them. And whether it's an individual strike like Iniesta's right from the edge of the area, from a lofted cross from Neymar, so he's got to control the volley and make sure it's beyond the goalkeeper. The interplay, the swiftness of the passing, the link-up play between Neymar, Suarez and Messi, it was all just outstanding to watch, and any backline in the world would have struggled to deal with them. I think they really were the typical wounded animal, you know. People have said in the build-up, well, I don't buy into that wounded animal stuff. It's better to play a team maybe when they're winning rather than when they've just lost. But that was a clinical display. Celtic taken apart, unfortunately, by a team who would have taken any defence apart. Whether it would have been 7, I'm not sure, but this particular scoreline was once in a lifetime for them, really. It's their biggest UEFA Champions League win. It's not a scoreline you see every day in this sort of competition, and that shows how good they were.
Jonathan, thank you very much. I'm going to ask you, not just for your man of the match later, but your favourite goal from Barcelona's performance. 7-0, they got past Celtic. The other game in that group didn't take place tonight. Manchester City against Borussia Mönchengladbach was postponed due to torrential rain in the northwest of England. And in the last few minutes, we have had confirmation of when the fixture will be played. Here's the statement from UEFA. The UEFA Champions League Group C fixture between Manchester City and Borussia Mönchengladbach will be played on Wednesday night after Tuesday's match was postponed. The match was postponed soon before the scheduled 20:45 CET kickoff time following a torrential downpour in Manchester. The game will kick off at the same time on Wednesday, so we're going to have 9 games on tomorrow. Tickets can be reused for the rearranged fixture, but no new tickets will be sold. Very interesting. The rainfall, Andy Brassel, in Manchester was absolutely crazy. And we saw those officials trying to see if the pitch was playable at one point.
Yes, and I think the most interesting thing was seeing the players getting off the bus on the first place before we even got to the pitch, which resembled a bit the game that was called off in progress between Genoa and Fiorentina in Serie A at the weekend. It was seeing, I think it was David Silva and Nolito just trying not to get wet as they splash through these meter deep puddles, seemingly, as they got off the coach, and they're both giggling and thinking, oh, it's not like this back home.
No, certainly not. But another 24 hours for those two teams to gather their thoughts ahead of City Gladbach. By the way, on match day two, Barcelona go to Gladbach, Celtic host Manchester City. Group D, Andy, Bayern 5-0 winners against Rostov. Joshua Kimmich with two goals in that game. Absolutely outstanding double from the young Germany international. Lewandowski put them in front with a penalty in the first half. Müller doubled the lead before half-time. The final goal was scored by Juan Bernat. But Carlo Ancelotti, two wins from two in the Bundesliga. First win in the UEFA Champions League. Great start for the Italian.
And no goals conceded. And, you know, he's not thought of as a Catenaccio coach. He's a very, very attacking coach. But I think rather than Bayern being defensive, it's obviously just an expression of them being incredibly dominant so far. Seeing Thomas Müller back in great form after a difficult UEFA Euro 2016 is excellent, of course. And as you say, Kimmich, I mean, there was always the question of what Ancelotti would really do with him, seeing as Guardiola was training him into his mini Mascherano and playing him at centre-back. But he's so versatile. He seems to have carved a berth for himself at right-back for Germany. And now maybe him and Renato Sanchez, a direct competition for each other in the Bayern midfield. And what a choice to have for Ancelotti.
Yeah, not bad at all. Bayern 5-0 winners against Rostov on their UEFA Champions League debut. PSV Atletico finished 1-0 to Atletico. But we do have some reaction from the Bayern game, Adam Summerton.
Yeah, Carlo Ancelotti's been talking, was asked, was he happy with the win? Just said that he was pleased that they got off to a good start. Was asked about Hummels, who went off with an injury. Said he took a knock, I didn't want to take any risks, so I chose to bring him off for a rest. And was also, as you've just been talking about there, Rob, asked about Joshua Kimmich. He said he played very well, he's on a really good run, and he's staying focused.
He looks brilliant. So 5-0 to Bayern. Atletico 1-0 winners at PSV Eindhoven. Sal Niguez with the only goal, one to rival his stunning strike from last season's competition. This an acrobatic volley, both feet off the ground on 43 minutes. But a penalty right before halftime for PSV Eindhoven could have got them back in the game, Andy.
That's right. And Andres Guardado kissing the ball, putting it on the spot. You would have backed him. And it was incredibly well hit, but a wonderful save from Jan Oblak, who's increasingly popular in the red and white half of Madrid.
Yeah, stunning goalkeeper. Sal Niguez has had some thoughts post-match, Adam.
Yeah, he has. He's been talking about how pleased he was with the victory, talking about how he's personally been in good form as well, and it's great for the side that they've been able to get off to such a good start in the competition.
Bayern top of the group, Atletico second, PSV third, Rostov fourth. Atletico host Bayern next. What a game that'll be. We saw that in the UEFA Champions League last season, and PSV go to Rostov. And finally to Group B, two goals from Arkadiusz Milik. Artur Hamas gave Dynamo Kiev the lead. Saw Napoli pick up all 3 points in only their third ever UEFA Champions League campaign. Milik, the Higuain replacement, remember. And Benfica won, Besiktas won. Andy, tell us the story of this, because it's a great talking point from Lisbon.
That's right, and it looked like Benfica were going to eke out a result with relatively meagre resources, of course, missing Jonas, Kostas Mitroglou, Raul Jimenez, which are basically all their attacking arms, and starting with a winger on his own up front in 19-year-old Gonzalo Guedes, who, of course, scored the winner against Atletico Madrid at this stage in the UEFA Champions League last season. So experience at this level. Franco Servi, who's looked good after coming over from Argentina, opened the scoring, and that looked like it would be enough, but no, it's the law of the X, and Talisca, who's on a two-year loan from Benfica to Beşiktaş and made a nuisance of himself after coming on in the second half for Beşiktaş. Well, he's got a great strike from range, as he proved against FC Bayern München last season, and he scored a wonderful free kick right at the death.
And stunning.
He chose to celebrate as well.
Yeah, he did, and rightly so. Jonathan Beck's got some reaction from the Beşiktaş player, one of Cristiano Ronaldo's best mates, Jonathan.
Yeah, Ricardo Quaresma, the Besiktas forward, called it a draw that feels like a victory, and you can understand that sentiment. He felt that they showed too much respect for the Portuguese early on at the beginning of the game, but perhaps that was down to experience, or inexperience, I should say, some of the players in their first campaign in this tournament. But the second half different, we played more like our natural selves. Olcay Shahan as well, their midfielder, said they knew that Talisca was talented at free kicks. They've seen him in training. Having joined us on loan from Benfica, I expect he's having mixed feelings now, but he also gave a shout out to their goalkeeper, Tolga, who made some critical saves in the latter stages as well to keep it at that stage at only 1-0.
Yeah, great result for Besiktas. Thanks, Jonathan. Napoli top of the group with 3 points. Besiktas and Benfica both on 1 point. Dynamo Kiev, after the defeat, are bottom of Group B. Dynamo Kiev go to Istanbul next. Napoli will host Benfica. Okay, coming up on Matchday Live, we're going to preview Wednesday night's group stage matches.
Dizemos não ao racismo.
Nein zum Rassismus.
Nein til Rassismus.
Non au racisme.
Nein til Rassismus.
Non al racisme.
Cristiano Ronaldo, Manuel Neuer, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Vincent Kompany, Caroline Sagar and Lionel Messi are just a few of the European football stars saying no to racism. European football united against racism. Respect.
You're listening to UEFA Champions League Match Day Live.
You're listening to Match Day Live with me, Rob Daly. Let's now concentrate on Wednesday night's group stage games. Our main one will be the holders Real Madrid against Sporting. Our commentator, John Bradley, joins us now. He'll be across this game, John. Cristiano Ronaldo, the main talking point ahead of this game, but I suspect that's the way he likes it.
Yeah, evening, chaps. Of course, he made his return at the weekend, and there was always the concern, wasn't there, of whether he'd be fit for this fixture, but he returned, and what, it took him 6 minutes to score his 150th goal at the Bernabeu, so you know, a nice historic weekend for him. And now, of course, he faces former club. It's, what, 19 years since that delegation went off to Madeira to sign him for Sporting, and now, of course, he faces them once again. He has played against them before, and he won even more hearts, didn't he, last time when he scored against them, because he didn't celebrate, and the whole crowd stood and clapped him off.
And John, Bruno de Carvalho, the president of Sporting, gave an interview in Marca, the Spanish newspaper, on Monday, saying that one of his aims is to eventually get Cristiano to come back to the Alvalade.
Yeah, I think he's on a little bit more money now than he was when he was at the Alvalade, wasn't it, a few years ago. I don't know, it would be a nice romantic view, wouldn't it? But it'd be interesting to see if Pepe ends up there, of course, because Pepe was knocked back by Sporting, wasn't he, some 13 years ago. He had a trial there when he went over from Marítimo. So interesting to see how he gets on in the game as well. But really interesting game, Andy. You know, both sides with perfect records so far domestically. Sporting under Jorge Jesus just seem to be going from strength to strength. And this great production line that they've had for year after year, when the players keep leaving, yet they still manage to find them coming through. And, of course, they've had a busy transfer window, but it doesn't seem to knock them off the stride. 13 straight wins.
That is the incredible thing with these two teams, isn't it? You look at the amount of players that have come into sport. 16 new players have come into Sporting since 2016 started. Real Madrid, on the other hand, are the absolute opposite.
It's the same team as last year, isn't it? It's the old adage, isn't it? Nothing changes. You know, Marcelo had a rest at the weekend. We fully expect to see him come back in. Karim Benzema has come back from injury at the weekend as well. Be interested to see if he comes back and starts. But I think that the worrying thing is if Bale or Benzema or Ronaldo doesn't score. Well, three of the back four scored at the weekend, didn't they, in La Liga? So you don't know where to look and where to defend against Real Madrid at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, John, if Benzema is probably the preferred centre-forward, but would you play him or Morata? Do you break up that BBC or what do you think?
I think it's a nice option, isn't it? I think they had that problem last season. If you remember when Benzema got injured early on against Wolfsburg, didn't he? And they struggled in that game away in Germany and ended up being beaten.
Yeah.
And I think that now they do have, you know, the embarrassment of riches once again that I think Zinedine Zidane really wanted. And to have two world-class strikers at his disposal, I think it's what every manager asks for, isn't it? And when you are the manager of Real Madrid, I suppose it's what you expect as well. But, you know, they're setting off in defence of their title, aren't they? And, you know, I think that everyone will expect them to go pretty close again. But this is a mouth-watering clash to start off the group phase.
John, thank you very much. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. John Bradley is our commentator for Real Madrid against Sporting in the UEFA Champions League. Also in Group F, it's Legia Warszawa versus Borussia Dortmund. Now, Adam Summerton, who's been our commentator for Paris Saint-Germain Arsenal, is also doing this game. Adam, Borussia Dortmund, they'd be expected to win that game, you'd have thought, in Poland.
You'd think so. I'm excited to see them back in the Champions League, actually. It's going to be really interesting to see how they do. They've had that year out where they made the quarterfinals of the UEFA Europa League and might have felt that they could have gone all the way in that competition. We're ultimately knocked out in that crazy game that you probably remember against Liverpool. But I guess from a Legia perspective, it's a long time since they've been in the competition. I think they made the quarterfinals the last time they were in there. Just
94-95.
Over.
Oh, yeah. It was 94-95.
I think it might have been a year later. So just over 20 years it is since any Polish team has been in the UEFA Champions League group stage. And they were in the year before the last one. So it's a really exciting night in store for not just Legia, but also Polish football as well. So Borussia Dortmund be a tough first test for them. But then, you know, Dortmund's had a bad result themselves at the weekend where they were beaten by Leipzig in the Bundesliga. So they'll be seeking to bounce back there. And you always want a good start in the UEFA Champions League.
You certainly do. Elsewhere in the UEFA Champions League, our second featured game, by the way, on Matchday Live tomorrow, will be Juventus against the UEFA Europa League champion Sevilla, who will not be looking to finish third despite the fact that they love the UEFA Europa League, Andy Brassel. But a tough opening game against Max Allegri's team, who they've, you know, played to in the not too distant past.
That's right, and Juventus are even stronger than last year, of course.
Do you think so? Now, despite Pogba leaving.
Yeah, I think they are, and you know, we saw that I think with in the opening weeks of the season with Sami Khedira taking more of a leading role, and then of course Miralem Pjanic coming in for his first start, scoring his first goal against Sassuolo at the weekend. Higuain again on the score sheet. I think he has a goal every 42 minutes for Juventus so far. So they're getting exactly what they paid for. But Sevilla are a team that I think can go very deep in this competition. They could be very interesting indeed. You look at them against Las Palmas at the weekend. They were 1-0 down in the 89th minute and they came back and got a win at the Sanchez Pizjuan. And it's because they've got so many options available to Jorge Sampaoli. And interestingly, it was two subs, Pablo Sarabia and Carlos Fernandez, who scored those goals. And, you know, to stay with Juventus physically will be another challenge altogether. But let's see if they're up to it.
It certainly will be. Sami Nasri, by the way, will not play for Sevilla. He's ill for the game. Marquisio out injured for Juventus. Also in Group H, Lyon take on Dinamo Zagreb. In Group E, it's Leverkusen against CSKA Moskva. Tottenham against Monaco. And in Group G, Club Brugge host Leicester City in their first ever UEFA Champions League campaign. Copenhagen go to FC Porto. More reaction to tonight's games anyway. Let's go to Jonathan Beck first. Benfica 1, Besiktas 1. Jonathan, what are we hearing?
We've heard from a couple of the Benfica players. Andre Horta said it's always better to start with a victory, particularly when you play at home. So we weren't expecting to concede a goal right at the end. Football is unpredictable, but this was truly a punch in the stomach. And Franco Cervi, the forward, again, echoing those sentiments, really. So close to victory, but now there's nothing we can do. Going forward, we've just got to correct the mistakes that we made tonight. It won't damage our objective because there are still 5 games to play.
Jonathan, your man of the match, by the way, from your game, Barcelona 7, Celtic 0.
I think it has to be Neymar. 4 assists and a goal. He just looked like he was playing at a different level. But then, so did the rest of the team, I suppose.
Adam Summerton, your man of the match.
Yeah, I was impressed by Marquinhos at the back today. Aurier, I thought, played very well as well, but give it to Marquinhos.
Thank you very much, gents. That's all we have time for on Matchday Live. What a great opening night to the 2016-17 group stage, our main match. Paris Saint-Germain-Arsenal finished 1-1. At the Camp Nou, Barcelona put on a masterclass, 7 goals against Celtic. Elsewhere, there were wins for Bayern, Atletico Napoli, and draws for Benfica and Besiktas. Basel and Ludogorets, plus there was one postponement, Manchester City against Borussia Mönchengladbach, will be played on Wednesday. Join us again for 1930 CET, Real Madrid against Sporting and Juventus versus Sevilla, our featured games, and we'll bring you all the goals as they go in the group stage. So until then, from Andy Brassel, Jonathan Beck, Adam Summerton, and myself, Rob Daly, it's goodbye.
Fabulous ball in, and there's the opening goal. Aurier's cross, Cavani's header, couldn't miss from all of a few metres out. And we have the opening goal inside a minute at the Parc des Princes. Alexis Sanchez equalises for Arsenal. Drove it home right-footed from the edge of the area. The Chile international has got the Gunners on terms here.
Here goes Messi, no offside. This is Suarez looking to make it five. Oh, Messi has! Messi has a hat-trick. Short corner, Iniesta, Messi all the way across. Suarez slides in, and that is seven. Luis Suarez has two, and Barcelona are rubbing it in.
You've been listening to UEFA Champions League Matchday Live.